telling us.
Okay, everybody, I've just muted our call so that we could kill some of that background noise. It is so difficult. Once you get past about maybe 15 or 20 people on these calls, it really does get unwieldy trying to manage the background noise. So right now everyone is muted. You can unmute yourself anytime by hitting *6 on your phone. And we always block time out on these live calls for Q&A, typically at the end of the call. But I just picked up an echo. Certainly anytime, you know, during a topic, if we're, you know, covering something particularly valuable to you and you have a specific question about that, feel free to hit *6 and jump in and do that. You know, really, it's these types of conference calls really are very productive if we can be very interactive. However, the technology, you know, of having, you know, 65 or 85 or 100 or sometimes even 300 open lines just simply is prohibitive. So that's how this works. Hit *6 on your phone and you'll be unmuted. Today, everybody, welcome to our Maximum Impact call for July. And, you know, it's been a really interesting summer. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to discuss a little bit about the end of summer and back to school as a season. And that has huge ramifications, not only in the family market, but in the adult market, in the fitness market. Particularly, there's a big influx in the fitness market at that time of the year as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. We're also going to talk today a little bit about staff development systems that everybody needs to be focused on. Every one of us knows how difficult it is to be, you know, in the middle of the forest with the 62-point to-do list. And you cannot do all this yourself. I know of no school owners, you know, who can go out into a community and be the chief cook and bottle washer for 35 years, you know, and do everything themselves and really attain the level of success that they really want and really deserve. We need other people. We need a team. And we have to be good at building teams and good at motivating and inspiring them to accomplish their objectives. And obviously we have Grandmaster Stephen Oliver will be joining us in just a moment, who is, you know. Oh, fantastic, fantastic. You know, a lot of kind of implemented systems in the franchise part of the business, I think that'll be really, really useful for everybody. Because keep in mind, what our mission and what the mission is in any franchise organization is replicatability. So this is going to be of particular value to everyone today when we're talking about developing staff and being able to replicate yourself, being able to multiply results through other people. So really quickly, I have three really quick logistical updates for everyone. Number one, any Inner Circle and Peak Performer members who are on the line who were at our West Point event just a couple of months ago. It was really an awesome event. It was really inspiring. You know, we spent 3 days at West Point, you know, above anything else, being sort of immersed in the culture of the military academy. And I think that experience in and of itself was very, very valuable for all of our folks, not to mention the meetings and the mastermind, you know, processes that we went through. But while we were there, we did a lot of you know, touring of the you know, campus grounds and things like that, and we took a lot of photos. And one of the things that I did is I had one of our art guys go through and take all the photos that we took, and we designed some really nice posters that you can put up on your walls at the school that you can, you know, print off and put up on the walls. And I made them like 11 by 17, so they're just a really standard format that you can go get done anywhere you want. And I think that they'd be a very good tool, a sales tool, a leadership upgrade program tool, and sort of a showing your students what you were doing, why you were doing it, you're investing in their education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I've taken those posters, and we created three big posters of the ones where we were as a big group in front of the parade grounds, one in front of the Thayer, and also a smaller group that we had in front of the parade ground. I think that was my group. I think I had the camera with me. And then also we took individual photos under the tank, if you guys recall. There was a big, you know, in front of the Welcome Center, there's a big tank, and we all, you know, took photos there. And I had one of our art guys take each one of those individual photos and create a separate poster of that as well. So it's, you know, there's a big headline on there creating the next generation of our nation's leaders, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they're really cool, and I've put just a raw artwork up on the member site for you. So if you just go to the member site, there's a big tile, right? That's the first thing you see when you get there after you get past the video. Or you can just go to the Peak Performer Inner Circle section, and it'll be right there. And you can download those files. They're pretty big files, and you can send them straight to your printer locally, or you can send them to our guy at printing@matma.com, and he can print them and ship them to you too. And I'm going to try to get a few sets of them done up for me and have them ready for us out of the boot camp. But it's too laborsome for me to figure out who's who and label them and have them print them and ship them. It's too many moving parts for me to get done expeditiously. So I just thought I'd give you the artwork, and you can do what you will with it. So that's up on the member site for you. It's very cool, and I think they turned out really well. Second is, for everybody in the call, August, yeah, so I guess it is next month, we're having our 2012 Ultimate Martial Arts Marketing Bootcamp. And Mr. Aubrey, you may want to speak to this, but the Ultimate Martial Arts Marketing Bootcamp is beyond any reproach the event that has kind of inspired and created more martial arts millionaires than any other on the planet. And partially it's because of the format. We all love trade shows. We all love our, smaller events and things like that, and they're very, very valuable. But unfortunately, what you can get at a trade show in a 50-minute presentation is pretty limited. It's kind of like a glimpse through the door. But what we really want to accomplish, and what we do frankly accomplish at the Marketing Bootcamp, is some really thorough, in-depth, leave no stone unturned, complete marketing solutions, and sort of some operational systems that are really valuable for, exponential increases in revenue and in marketing results. So, Mr. Albert, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what we're going to accomplish at the boot camp. We only have a couple of minutes, but it's coming up in August, and all of our Peak Performer Inner Circle members, you guys should be on the list. If we haven't received your RSVP form back, if you're a Peak Performer Inner Circle member and I don't have your RSVP for the boot camp and for Disney, we need to have that right away. I'll send out another copy of it here, I guess, in a day or so. But we really need to know who's going to be there. We have very limited seating at these things and all that sort of thing. But for all of our other members, our Maximum Impact members, and this is really something that you should consider. Again, this is a really intense 2 days, lock the doors. We go from early in the morning to late at night and really, block out any other distractions and work on your business for 48 hours or more. It really is sort of a transformational environment. So definitely something that everybody should be considering. MartialArtsBootCamp.com is a place to go to get all the details and to get yourself registered. Or give Bob a call at the office at 727-540-0500, and his extension is 202. So martialartsbootcamp.com is the easiest place to find the details.
And we'll do a couple more teleconference directly focused on that in the next week or so. But if anybody who's an APNA member, the boot camp is one of the events that the Performers Inner Circle that's included as part of their program now. And, our schedule for this year for Peak Performers Inner Circle has been behind the scenes at Disney, kind of behind the scenes light, if you will, at Disney in Orlando, behind the scenes tour and a discussion with Mike McCoy, who's an engineer and so forth, really on how they approach service and so forth, which I thought was extremely valuable. All the feedback we've heard was excellent. And then we obviously were at West Point. And again, a real behind-the-scenes look, including with, in this case, Don Sosen, who was the martial arts instructor for West Point for over 10 years. And we spent a lot of time with Larry Donathorne, both with the book West Point Way of Leadership. And the point of it, it doesn't matter whether it's a kid school or a cognitive school or cardio program or anything in between, is developing high-level of leadership training, high-level of leadership programs. As well as just creating excellence in the school. And then the marketing boot camp, something that, as you said, Master Milroy, it's probably been 10 years ago or so for the first one. But, I mean, several of the people in the first one, he's Lloyd a lot because he's become kind of high profile in the MMA world. But, Lloyd was about a $7,000 a month school that, rocketed from, pretty much just what he learned from the boot camp. Into $1 million a year school within about 36 months. He said publicly that he added about $250,000 to his school in the first year following the boot camp. He's also said that, cost him about $5,000 to come to the boot camp, and he made that money back in the first 72 hours after the boot camp while he was still training. So it's quite an impactful event, and it's going to be 2 solid days for everybody below the Inner Circle members, a third day for Inner Circle members, and it's really going to focus on 5 key areas of marketing, and we'll talk about that more in the boot camp. I don't want to chew up people's time today, but focused on for back to school into summer, direct mail and direct response marketing, internet marketing, internal referral and family add-on marketing, and external community event marketing. And one other thing that I'm keeping over there, Toby, with what did I miss? But
well, that was fine. That's right. That's
Yeah. But then our next event is Disney Anaheim, and the Inner Circle are actually going to Disney University for a day and a couple of days talking about that, and the peak performers are going to take that same level of focus on service. And the next year we're going to go a combination of very high-end events or places to just expand our wealth consciousness and high-end business development. For instance, we're going to be at Harvard Business School for a couple of days and use the BK's method to kind of think about how to operate our schools on a more effective basis. We're going to do a very high-level internet marketing boot camp, which is essential for everybody nowadays. But certainly anybody in the adult market, it's one of the primary drivers. Anybody in the kid market is one of the primary ways of converting a lead into an enrollment. So we're going to hit that in-depth marketing boot camp, but next year we're going to do a boot camp just purely in online marketing. So if somebody is a Maximum Impact member and is not in peak performance, we should at least talk about that. Because if you're a $15,000 or $12,000-$13,000 a month and up school, it's the way to get to be $1 million-a-year school. But anyway, so we wanted to predominantly focus on SMLRI on back to school marketing, of course, you know, some people feel like they're in the summer doldrums right now. I got to tell you, the high level schools that I talked to yesterday, many of them are hitting record numbers at the moment because there's just so much to do right now. In the context of September, October marketing right now, is I always like to remind everybody that part of what you should be doing over the summer is creating a huge lead database so that whether it's for kids or adults, so that we can use direct mail, email, broadcast, voicemail, text messaging to generate interest. If you have an adult who's interested, who's going on vacation for 2 weeks and really isn't ready to start the summer, it's the perfect time to get them going for back to school, for the fall for back to school. And creating that big database of people makes sure that September is just a fabulous. And my view has always been September and October are two of the best months of the year. I certainly like January, February as a peak time, but September and October are better than that, in my opinion, in just about every segment of the market. SMLRI, should we start there, or do we want to start? You mentioned also tying in staff training, and that's been a big, obviously with the top people, it's been a big point of my focus. In fact, I was just putting together a little email follow-up for some of the stuff that I promised people just now from my calls yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's the place to start. And I think the first thing perhaps to say is that one thing I think it's important to understand, all the stuff that, I heard Jay Abraham one time say that the fundamentals never change, but the strategy always does, right? And I think that that's really, really important for everybody to sort of really internalize. The specific marketing tools and strategies and things like that we're kind of discussing on a daily basis, look, Google changes their algorithm every, I don't know, This last Penguin update killed a couple of my sites and, we're back now. But, these things change a lot. But the overarching strategy doesn't really ever change because we're dealing with human behavior. We're not dealing with anything else, right? When you're talking about influence, leadership, sales, marketing, all of that is, hinges on a solid understanding of human behavior, how people behave, how your market behaves, how they think, what's in their head, what they fear, what they value, right? So if I'm in the adult market, and I see that, back to school time might not mean anything to me, or at least, you might be thinking that. Well, back to school, I'm not really in the family market. I'm not looking for kids. So why does back to school matter? Well, back to school matters immensely because, you know, the health clubs have known for, I don't know, 100 years that when school is out, right, when the kids are now a hindrance, right, when they're now up in your grill all day long, right, you've got to go, like, entertain them, you know. So, you know, that's summer vacations and family trips and sending them to grandma and, you know, all that other stuff, right? So anyone who has families are affected by it. And even if you're not, I mean, just the general market at that time has a different psychology. So
yeah,
what we're talking about was
off to the beach more often than otherwise, or scheduling trips to wherever it might be. And it, there, although we see a lot of schools are now hitting record enrollment numbers in July and August, is you've got to go through more people because a lot of them are, you know, off on vacation or one thing or another, and the opportunity is to build a huge mailing list so that you can get them back when they're ready to start, as well as focus on the getting them in right now.
Well, exactly. So then, to make a general assumption or a general statement, the general psychology of the market during the summer months is that they're kind of sort of not looking to get involved in things, you know. I mean, they're looking for summer camps and things like that for the kids and all that sort of stuff, but they're sort of off schedule psychologically, you know. They're, you know, more lax, those types of things. You know, diets take a big dump in the summer, you know, other than the bikini season pre-summer deal. But so now as back to school is starting to ramp up, people are starting to think about getting back to schedule. So right now, again, if you look at, and that's probably, this might be a generalization, it has been in my experience, and certainly with the people I'm working with, and certainly in our schools. But if you've seen something different, you know, I'd like to hear about it. But most of the people who are having these record enrollment months during the summertime are out there working for them.
Absolutely.
They're not coming by general quote media, right? So it's not that you can do television, radio, direct mail in the summer months and expect that to work better than it does at the back of school season. It's actually the opposite, because people are less open to that suggestion. They're less open to that message. But right now, starting like in the next, I don't know, I'd say probably 2 weeks, people are now really starting to think about, okay, well, it's time to get back to schedule. You know, the kids are going back to school, you know, all this kind of summer craziness is over. Now is the time to start thinking about how do I surround that media, right? I've just, you know, done all this labor. I've generated all these leads. I've converted a certain number of them. Now I'm going to try to go tackle them. So what would your psychological, you know, approach be to all that?
You see, in a general broad stroke, I've always looked at June 15th to August 15th is a time that I didn't want to spend a lot of money in broadcast media. But the August 15th number, my rule of thumb is for the kids market, when do they go back to school, and then back out a couple weeks before that? So if they went back to school on September 1st, then I want to start doing direct mail and other media, newspaper inserts, all that stuff. I really want to be focused on that more or less 2 weeks before that back to school day. So if they went back to school on August 15th, I've heard some people even August 1st, I would back it off 2 weeks and start hitting them, knowing that a lot of times I have to kind of seed the territory, and then I get response, you know, starting about that first week of school, maybe not before that. For the adult market, I've always thought September 1st is really kind of the threshold. You know, there is that, definitely there is the point at which Labor Day weekend. And Labor Day weekend is kind of most people's threshold in the U.S. between, you know, we're on summer and we're going to the beach versus it's back to settling down and focusing on our regular activities. And again, from a media standpoint, so for the adult market, I back that back about 2 weeks and start really focusing, spending money 2 weeks before Labor Day, and really ramp it up the weekend following Labor Day, if that makes sense.
That's exactly what I was getting at. So again, all of the stuff that my personal value system for all of our NAMA members, everybody who's, you know, within the sound of our voice, so to speak. Again, aside from all the tactics that are very, very valuable, it really is. It really is. I really want everybody to understand sort of the methodology, you know, the strategy. And if you kind of understand what's already in the head of your market, what they're already thinking about, what they're not thinking about, what they're resistant to and what they're open to, that transcends kids, it transcends adults, it transcends fitness, it transcends any market, it transcends any group of people that you're trying to attract. If you're inside, you really need to be in their head. And, you know, obviously over the 30 some years you've been spending money in the market, and with all the, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people working with directly, it's pretty easy for us to have our finger on what that's been historically.
You bet.
And really easy to sort of predict what it's going to be, you know, what it's going to be now. So again, let me just put a punctuation point on the point I was making a minute ago. Almost all of the high level of traffic that we're seeing right now, and we are seeing a lot of traffic. I mean, Madagascar was a big release for a bunch of our folks. I mean, a bunch of people really did well on Madagascar. Now, Ice Age is, I think, next week. And
I would say all the way down to 4 and 5, Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah,
are huge.
Yeah, and I was going to go the other direction. So if you look at cartoons, you know, so to speak, you know, Ice Age is next, but then you also have you know, Batman, Spider-Man, Expendables. And Expendables in the adult market, I think, is, you know, we're really going to swing for the fences on that deal. Because it's Chuck and Jet Li. I mean, it's all of them, you know? So all of that high labor stuff that we're doing right now really is getting really good results. Again, the ratio is relatively low. You know, I'm not going to see my really high conversion ratio because of that psychological position that the market is in. They're kind of not thinking about it.
I can give you a stat from an hour ago. Our Fresno school did 90 appointments this weekend in the movie theater. So, Jeff Smith School, they've been really focusing on much higher quality leads, which, you know, the schools with higher volume is appropriate to do. They've been doing, you know, 20 or 30 appointments a day on fairly short days in the movie theaters for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and again, we had well, anyway. So, okay, so then from a perceptual standpoint, or from like a sort of a strategic standpoint, summertime high labor, strategic nuclear attacks, right? You know, we're just bombing these places where our market goes. Movie theaters is an example. High and Eric's example is exactly the same way to translate this type of a strategy to the adult market. It's UFC night at Buffalo Wild Wings or at Hooters. Or it's in the fitness market, you know, you have these summer outdoor boot camps and these types of things.
Again,
I'm sorry?
Well, you know, clarify, because some people miss the point. That's about referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about all the students going and bringing a friend or two, and then referring those friends. And the nice thing when it's in a public environment like that is you do get some lead over of people who go, oh, what's going on here? And you if you're aware, you can get some additional traffic as well. But it's about creating events to generate referrals. And just to reiterate for everybody once again, what we've seen, doesn't matter who it is. Two of my friends, Eagle Valley, who passed away recently, and I don't remember the name. It's like Steve Doyen up in
Newburgh.
He's on the other side. He's in Connecticut. But they've both, for years, been fabulous at generating predominant traffic from internal referrals, but it's through events. Through birthday parties or through Buffalo Wild Wings type of events or through Buddy Days or through self-defense seminars or fitness, you know, one-day camp. It's create an event that I as a student am excited about bringing my friend to. So, you know, La Valley was always very good at the graduation was a big show. And invitations were given out to all the students to bring their friends to the graduation. The graduation was staged out in a bunch of different segments so that kind of like the dance recital, but in this case, friends were coming in. They had staff set up to meet all the friends on the way in, schedule them with if the graduation is on Wednesday, schedule them for an open house and introduction class on Saturday. capture all the names. But the referral market, and especially in September, October, it's all about having big events that are exciting that the student feels comfortable bringing a friend to, and then making sure you don't miss the point of capturing name, address, email address, mobile number, and if at all possible, right then and there, scheduling an appointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think this kind of like bridges to the next part of this is, so in the summertime, obviously, we're, you know, doing a lot of high labor activity to drive a lot of traffic, collect a lot of leads, do as many conversions as we humanly can, but also we're knowing that we're building this big database. So right now we're in the process of gearing up the communication to this big database. So, you know, I don't know, let's say conservatively over the summertime, you've hustled a little bit and you've put, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 people in the database, right? And that should be a really doable number. You know, most of our guys are probably doing quite a bit better than that. But, you know, it's definitely a workable number. So you put 1,000 or 1,500 people in the database. Now we're talking about how do we go build a relationship with them as we approach this back to school, this kind of transition of psychology of the market. You know, Michelle, what would you say would be my, like, three or four highest priority activities that I would want to be doing with this database to kind of cultivate the ground and, you know, get these seeds planted so I can, you know, do some harvesting in August, September, October?
Well, you know, number one, thinking specifically of tools that we're providing for people, the biggest purpose of having a school newsletter, and again, the kicking newsletter or some version of that, that all the material is pre-done for you. The reason for using that is not so much to send out information to your students, but there's two groups that are very important. One group is your former students, inactive students, and summer is a time when a lot of people, if you're not careful, they get out of the habit and go off on vacation and never come back. So you want to make sure that your inactive students 12 times a year are getting a newsletter of what's going on in your school, which is a subtle and persistent way of getting them interested in coming back. And number two is your prospect database. So, you know, nothing better than I develop a meaning, you know, just a list of name, address, phone number, preferably mobile number and email. I say mobile so we can text them too. But develop that list of people who have raised their hand at least a little bit that they're interested. And then mail that newsletter out. So a lot of what you're going to be doing over the summer is educational, not promotional. And I think one of the things you want to look at with your former students and your prospect database is constantly be sending educational information and also be sending them promotional. In other words, there's a big event coming up this weekend. It's going to be Saturday, we're in a special self-defense day for whatever it might be. All of your prospects should be getting that every time you have it. And if it's prospect for a kid, but you're doing a thing for an adult for kickboxing, the kids have mom and the kids have dad and vice versa. If you have an adult database, but you're doing a kids program, I mean, a lot of them have kids or they have nieces and nephews. So one of the things I would say to prime it over the summer, but this should be year-round, is make sure that they're every event you have in the school, everybody who's an inactive student or on your prospect database gets an invitation to the event. Number two is make sure that your school newsletter is going out to everybody who's a prospect and everybody who's inactive. Even if you didn't do a newsletter for your current students, I'd be fine. I just want to make sure your inactive ones and your prospects get it, which is the opposite, I think, the way most people think about that thing. So that's number two. Number three is make sure that you're getting material out to anybody who's raised their hand that is both educational and promotional. In other words, you want them to get the, you know, come in for 2-3 weeks in a free uniform and this and that type of promotion, but you also want them to get, you know, a little letter about how martial arts helps ADD, and a little letter about, you know, how this has proven to be the best, you know, the best fat burn workout and whatever, you know, whatever the group is you're targeting. You want them to be getting that kind of stuff on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, you know, that was when, I, again, you kind of have to keep in mind who your target market is, and right now understand what's happening in their head, what their psychology is doing. You know, how is their thinking changing today? And if they're thinking about getting back to schedule and all that sort of stuff, a few other things I think that are really, really useful. Again, like you mentioned, event-based activities to drive traffic are very, very useful. Because, again, I mean, you know, the free 2 weeks, 3 months, whatever it is, that type of kind of offer-based promotion, you know, really, how many times can you hit them over the head with that thing? You know, if it doesn't have some kind of a message attached to it that they can kind of cling on to, that they can hold on to, it's not as impactful. So I think four things that I've always done, that we've always done in these schools, and, you know, it's produced predictable, reliable results across, you know, many locations. In the family market, here's four things I think that are pretty useful. Number one, think about what the parents are thinking about. What are they fearful of when it's back to school time? What are they afraid of, right? Well, number one, they're afraid that Johnny's going to get bullied in school, right? There's a huge bullying epidemic and crisis in the nation, and certainly there is, right? And you don't have to click too many buttons on the remote control to find a news story about something, which, by the way, you should be leveraging to the maximum. But, you know, some kind of a bully buster seminar, or, you know, defeat the bully thing, or, you know, whatever. That message resonates with people, especially at this time of the year. The second I would say is anti-abduction. You know, parents are concerned about their kids walking to school or going to the bus stop, or, you know, those types of things. So we used to do every third week, we would do a free child ID kit promotion, which, by the way, that's a really cool idea, because when they come in, you put all the data in the database and you print their card out for them, right? So now you've got the lead in the database. But so, you know, like a free child ID kit program, and you can do those for free. You know, there's all sorts of resources in your community and things like that. That can give you the cards or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of ways to logistify that, but let's not get bogged down in those type of details. It's too easy to figure that out, right? Third thing I think they're thinking about is they're worried about, you know, what Johnny's performance is going to be in school this year. You know, does he have a little bit of ADHD or you know, is he having trouble focusing in school? That's a real fear that people have. And this is something that we can help with. This is a message that resonates with that market at that time. And the fourth thing, I think, just in general, being successful in school. You know, some type of a, you know, give your child the competitive edge in school this year. Those types of messages are very, very useful, because, again, you have sort of people think two ways. There are only two motivators in human behavior, avoiding pain or seeking pleasure, right? So the avoiding pain part is the anti-bullying, the child ID thing, the focus to, you know, building classes. The other part of it, the attaining gain part, would be, you know, here's how Johnny can be, you know, to give him the competitive advantage in school. This is how he can be ultra successful, and, you know, those types of things. So I think that's useful. Now, on the adult side of the market, I think there are three things that are happening right now in the market as well that are really, really, really useful, especially in traditional programs, but, you know, you can translate this very, very easily into any type of a style. But number one, stress relief. I mean, now that we're going back to, quote, getting back to schedule, back to work, back to, you know, the kind of the grind, you know, people are pretty stressed right now. I mean, you know, there was just a study about 2 weeks ago about how many minutes people now spend staring at a screen, right, the computer screen or their mobile phone or their television. And it was a little over 8 hours a day, and that's hit a big tipping point. So, you know, people are really stressed out. They're inundated by all this media, and they're just always connected, and they never really have a chance to relax. So that's a big message right now that resonates with the market. You know, this type of stress release, this type of you know stress relief type of a program.
Go ahead.
Well, the last two components I think for the adult market that are going to be particularly useful right now is obviously a weight loss message. The back-to-school weight loss is always a big area of opportunity in fitness centers. I remember a very successful direct mail campaign that Weight Watchers did was, one of our guys in the industry stole it and used it, and actually it worked really well. But it's your last excuse for, you know, losing that extra 10 pounds just went back to school, right? You know, so now you don't have that excuse that you've got to, you know, chase the kids around all day long. You got to get your butt back in shape, right? So that's a very you know, useful message. And I think the third one, and this is a little different, but we're seeing pretty good results on this in isolated areas. I think we really need to scale this out and get people excited about it. And it really kind of tickles the men, and it's some type of a home defense message. You know, if there, and there always are, but, you know, you can kind of crawl through the local media and find stories about home invasions or about, you know, in Florida we have this, you know, Trayvon Martin thing, and it's a stand your ground or a gun defense case and some things like that, and self-defense. And, you know, those types of stories are really useful. You know, men never want to admit to themselves that they can't, you know, quote, quote, take care of themselves if they ever had to. But it's very easy for them to make the leap to say, well, I need to learn how to defend the family. You know, what if somebody broke in the front door? What would I do? What would they do? Would I know how to handle it? What would, you know, those types of things. So I think those are, anyway, so those are eight things, right? Seven. Four in the kids market and three in the adult market, I think, that are really useful. This is part of how the market is thinking at this time of the year.
Well, and let me walk us back for a second, and as you know, I may have to leave the call a little bit early today with the holiday. The schedules overlap a little bit, but two things that I just want to throw out as far as how to think about things is, if I've heard it said you want to consistently do whatever your ideal target is. Let's say it's 20 enrollments a month. You want to consistently do 20 enrollments a month every month, you know, month in, month out. But in reality, in the way I looked at it for 30 years now, is I had times that were easy to have peak enrollment periods and times that were a little harder to have peak enrollment periods. And the times that were easier to have peak enrollment periods, including September, October, is when I threw the bulk of the money that I spent on marketing threw it at that point. So I would look through the year, and in September and October I would spend a ton of money. In November, December I wouldn't spend much. January, February I'd spend a ton of money. As I said, June 15th to August 15th I wouldn't spend much. And so I would spend, you know, double or triple what I would at any other point of the year for the September-October marketing. The second thing, and it's not just about money, it's about if you have your list, you have your Parthenon of, let's say, 30 things that we've taught you to do that work really well. The goal in a peak enrollment period is to do all of them. And so what I know what you and I encounter in our personal coaching with school owners, Master Melroy, is, you know, a lot the guys who fail just don't do enough stuff. You know, you and I both had a conversation with a gentleman recently. He said, well, I tried this rack hard thing. It didn't work. Well, what did you do? Well, he had, you know, 5 of them or 10 of them or 20 of them, and the guys who are making it work had 400 of them. And it's, it only costs a buck or so a piece to put them out, and it only takes a couple days to put them out. We have guys who say, well, I printed that flyer that you have online, and I passed them out door to door. I didn't have any results. Well, how many did you pass out? Well, 500 a month. Well, it has to be more like 50,000 a month for that to really do anything. And so, Toby, I'm going to have to run here, but I wanted to make sure we made that point as well, and then I will try to plug back in.
Yeah, well, it's super important, and I mean, the other piece of it, the next piece of this sort of back-to-school psychology that I really wanted to make sure we talked about, and anybody, by the way, who has specific experience with this or specific questions about it, please hit *6 on your phone and jump right in. But I want to talk a little bit about business-to-business marketing this time of the year. And you guys all probably know, if you've been in the system for a while, you know that I do tend to like to surround myself with other small business owners, right? Other people who are in the same type of a market that I am, you know, other people who are, you know, similar to what I do. And in the schools, this is, especially this time of the year, this is a particularly useful strategy. Because keep in mind, what you have right now is not only are you going to be having a bit of a spike in interest, but so is every local health club. So are all the daycare centers. So are all the elementary schools. So are all the secondary schools. So are all of the, you know, the after-work hangout places for adults, right? Because, again, the shift in the psychology of the market is the most important thing to understand right now. They're just starting to think a little differently. They're starting to think about solving a little bit of a different set of problems, and and attaining a different set of benefits. So it's extremely useful to go now and leverage everybody else who has a similar clientele to the one that you're trying to attract, right? So obviously in the family market, our ideal prospects for those types of things are things like, you know, family practitioners, dentists, private tutoring facilities like Kumon and Huntington and Sylvan Learning Center, those types of things. If I'm in the adult market, again, depending on what segment of the adult market I'm in, if I'm looking for women fitness kickboxers or something like that, well, I would want to go do joint venture deals with my local Weight Watchers or the local, the local ice cream shops and, you know, the local coffee shops where the high-end moms go and hang out, right? The Starbucks and the, you know, Boston Coffee and, you know, those types of places. You know, if you drew a 5-mile radius around your school, any one of us could go find 20 or 30 or maybe even 100 businesses who serve the exact same customer. So again, the more you know about Chris, the more you know about your ideal customer, the more you can leverage this. So again, right now, moving yourself psychologically into this business-to-business promotion is really, really, really useful. If I can go get a deal done with the local, I don't know. You know, again, you know, you name the 3 or 4 businesses, but in the family market, if I can go get 3 or 4 daycare centers who are all, you know, gearing back up for their school year, and I can go in and do those little classes with them, or have them come to me as a field trip, or, you know, whatever the case is. You know, right now is the time to line those up. Everybody's kind of gearing up for that new season now. And again, if I'm in the adult market, if I can go do right now 3 or 4 or 5 deals over the next week or so with, you know, the local after work hangout. You know, I like Eric and Hai's example of the Buffalo Wild Wings because it's, you know, a perfect example of where to take a bunch of your people. But, you know, restaurants are a good example. But, where your ideal customer hangs out, you know, where they spend time, where they like to travel, the people they like to spend time with, those other businesses that serve them, those are perfect opportunities to do that, and especially where they do it in mass, especially where there's big groups of them hanging out together. You know, obviously the family market, the elementary schools is a great target because there's 500, 600 of them all in one place, right? But you know, in your local community, in the adult market, you have local employers who are again, if we go back to the stress relief message, I know Eric Sabarge had done a lot of work with this, and it's something everybody really should be thinking about in the adult market. If you have a large employer in town, IBM or, you know, whatever the case may be, if you have even the city, you know, local municipal workers, they have an incentive, to take good care of their workers, to take care of their people. And, you know, you have a product that's valuable to them. You have a service that they can perceive as very valuable. And right now is, again, the time that they're thinking about this stuff is starting to shift. So I think it's high time to make sure that you're reaching out to those business-to-business partner opportunities and creating those joint ventures.
That's real interesting. I'm back.
I saw it.
As you talk about that, from a big picture standpoint, we want to make sure we have an immediate action plan that everybody can implement. But, you know, the terminology that just stuck with me that I like is the Parthenon, you know, having 10, 15, 20 different pillars. And we've seen, you know, let's take women's cardio kickboxing. Right now you can fill a school for women's cardio kickboxing with Groupon, Living Social, and online marketing. And one argument would be, if I can get enough traffic from those sources, why should I do anything else? And I think that's limited thinking. Because really what you should be looking at, no matter what market you're at, is everything that you can do to throw money at where you get a positive return on investment. And I really like it to be, they're going to pay me $400 down on the enrollment, and it cost me $400 to get them. And if I can get somewhere close to that number, I'm thrilled. And if they do $400 to enroll, $200 a month, and it costs me $800, I'm still okay, right? So you should be looking at, for each market, how do I build that Parthenon? So how do I go from 5 things that we're doing every month to generate traffic to 10 things we're doing to 15 things to 20 things? And if you're as your operation grows, you end up with going from, you know, it's just me to it's me and two staff members to it's me and 5 or 10 staff members, and or, you know, heaven forbid, at one time it was me and 48 or 50 staff members. But what happens is you've got to look at all the things you can do that you can get staff members to do, all the things that you can do that are high level, high leverage that you can do, all the things that you can do where you can throw money at it and get a positive return on investment, and all the things that you can do internal. And the type of business-to-business stuff that you were talking about there, Toby, all of the biggest hits I've ever gotten from that was by going through our student base and knowing who and what everybody was, and then finding the people who are both advocates for the school and connected in some way to an organization or a program that was useful for us. And I can give you 5 examples. One example was the chief operations officer, the chief marketing guy, and the CFO, all of whom had their kids in our program for a $780 million electronics chain, who then put a half page in their newspaper ad about the school, and if you came in and purchased over $1,000 in electronics for a given weekend, then you get a certificate good for a $250 value, and let us set up booths in the electronics stores. So we ended up with 10 different booths set up in 10 different locations with an ad that went to 1 million people, and all of the signage in the store for 2 weeks ahead of time, and tied in. Well, that was because those guys were students. We knew what they did, and I ended up having the conversation with them about giving them the idea to do that, and they took me up on the idea. Another one was we had the guy who was in charge of statewide flag football leagues. And so every year at the end of the flag football season, he would put a certificate in with a cover letter from him endorsing the school, telling the kids why they had to be in a cross-training program over the summer, and giving them a certificate for 5 weeks, a free uniform, a free semi-private lesson one day or another from him, that would mail out to, I think it was like 25,000 kids at the end of the season. Another example is we had payroll stuffers for US West, which is, of course, one of the Baby Bells, 35,000 employees in the city, that went to every employee several times because the director of human resources ended up being an aunt of a student and saw what this did, and one of their high priorities was to reduce their medical insurance costs. The way they reduce their medical insurance costs is they have their employees in physical fitness type of programs, and obviously this fits that category. And I could go on and on and on with things that we've pulled off over the years like that, but in most cases it hasn't been cold calling. It hasn't been go out to an employer and say this would be a great thing for your employees. It's been taking the student base, whether you have 100 students or 3,000 students, taking the student base and really having a system in place where you talk to your people, you know what they do for a living, you know what their hobbies and interests are, you know what their avocations are and their all the different things they do, and with the child, you know, what daycare they're in and what soccer team they're on and what baseball team. And it's just got to be integrated into your system that when they enroll, when they do progress updates, when you do testing, you ask and you start developing a mechanism for yourself where you keep track of it. Know who does what. Another example is, we got into every Children's World in the metropolitan area, which at the time was 26 of them, because their associate director for the state was a student who we then found out was associated, and all of a sudden we were doing programs not only to train their staff in teaching methodology and leadership, but also then to go in and do programs directly with the kids, and had things that were mailed to all of their customers through their normal mailing systems. But that, I thought that might give people some ideas on how to get started without it being too scary.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the shortcut, and it's a huge shortcut. The, you know, one of the things that I had always done was every quarter I had a letter that I would send to all the parents in the school. Basically, look, the reality is this, and again, this transcends market. This is about human behavior. If you ask people and allow them to help you with your mission, they're happy to do it, you know? If you, you know, I think a lot of people are very fearful of their customers, you know, and they think that they're taking advantage of their customers by taking money, you know.
Let's finish the sentence, though. If you ask them, they're happy to help. If you don't ask them, they don't volunteer because they don't know you want it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I mean, look, you know, people are, again, if you go ask all your parents, hey, listen, help me enroll a couple extra students this month. Well, I mean, look, they're not very excited about that.
But they don't know how to do it.
Well, exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah. They don't have the skill. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know, I put together this little 6 or 8 page letter, and it was basically, listen, we are on an unstoppable mission to improve the lives of the children, the families, and the community around us. And here are a few ways that we're actively doing that currently. You know, we're helping Boy Scout troops by da 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 da. We're helping, you know, youth groups by doing this and this. We're helping elementary schools. We're helping daycares. We're, you know, whatever, da da da. Now, by the way, if you happen to be, you know, part of a scout troop and you think that this might be valuable to you, here's how you can tell us about that. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to help you. We'd love to be able to do, you know, whatever it is to be able to help that troop accomplish their goals, or, you know, whatever the case is. So, anyway, every quarter I would kind of go through a system and, you know, kind of blast that out to everybody and make sure that I was listening, you know, and we could hear, you know, what they were telling us. But yeah, that's the ultimate shortcut. You know, definitely going to these guys cold is a little bit more difficult, you know, but really there's almost no need to. I mean, there's so much opportunity inside your current school that most people just aren't leveraging.
Well, and it's what people sneer at, kind of the rich gets richer thing, is success builds success, builds success, builds success. But most people spend so much time, you know, on a treadmill where they're constantly going out and trying to create new contacts that they don't realize that in many cases, look around the room, you don't even know what your current students do outside of the martial arts school. And again, I intentionally pointed out, sometimes it's a child and there's nothing particularly interesting that mom or dad does. Dad is, you know, an insurance adjuster, and mom works part-time in a movie theater. And that's probably a bad example. But, you know, does something that has nothing associated. But the aunt, the grandparents, the older sibling, are then connected with something that's useful. So it's really about getting to know your student and then being unafraid to talk to your students about your mission. And your mission is to share the incredible value of the martial arts that you've developed within the school, leadership training, self-development, with the broader community in your immediate area. And if you're ever shy about what your mission is, and that it is to share that with the broader community, you're missing the point. I mean, we do a marvelous thing for people, but we should never be shy about sharing it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that hit, I think, most of the bullet point list, most of the bullets on my list for back to school marketing and kind of where we're thinking strategically.
Why don't we do this from a tactical standpoint? Let's take a 5-minute top of the head. And of course, that's the marketing boot camp of, you know, part of our big promise is any and everybody who comes to the marketing boot camp is going to leave the marketing boot camp with a complete marketing plan for the fall that's going to add 100 new students to their school in the next 6 weeks following the boot camp, meeting specifically September 1st to October 15th. But what I was going to suggest before we shift topics, if I was in the kids' market, I'll start with that. What my back-to-school marketing plan would look like is I would start with, I'm just going to throw out about 20 different things that I would do, and I mean I would do all of them, is I would make sure that in the radius, 3 to 5 mile radius around the school, that I had 400 to 500 of the little rack card holders out with rack cards. And we have print on demand, all that set up. It's all the member website. You don't have to create anything new. It's all set for you. The only caveat on the rack card thing is, I think, is every 4 to 6 weeks, make sure that you have a different one in it. And I would go so far as watch what the colors are and use one with a blue background and then a red background and then a white background, and we have all those up there for you. So, one, I would have 400 or 500 rack cards out, and I would get them distributed right now. So I would, or you know, I would get them distributed, you know, worst case by mid-August. The second thing is I would get 100 or 200 little bandit signs out. I've always thought that was kind of rinky-dink, but you know, the thing is, it works. And so if you get a bunch of them out, you can get a lot of visibility. Number three is I would organize my team and go print a bunch of door hangers. And the door hangers, again, all this stuff is set up on the member site. You can do a print on demand. You don't have to create anything. And I would figure out how to get 25 or 30,000 door hangers out. And, again, that's high labor, but it works fabulously. The next thing I would do is hook up with one of the charitable organizations. And I would get something like what we call Teen Center or Children's Hospital and really get those.
Hello?
I'm sorry, I ended up on hitting the mute button. But I would get something like the Teen Center idea or the hospital idea, and I would end up with, you know, I used to do those 100,000 lot runs for four schools, or 120, 130 for five schools. So I would look at getting 15, 20, 25,000 of those kind of flyers out. And again, I'm talking about what's the August to September marketing plan for back to school. The next thing I would do, and of course everything so far has been labor intensive, is I would look at Labor Day weekend events that were going on in your area, and I'd have a booth set up. So I'd have the prize wheel and all the stuff. And we have all the training materials up on the site, right, Master Mel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'd have the booth set up, and we've got, Sasha Williams will teach everybody how to do this at the boot camp, but we've had 150 appointments made that turn into 75 or 80 intros that turn into 10 to 30 enrollments from one weekend from that type of event. So I'd be figuring out what was going on in my area, especially Labor Day weekend, more or less, and get booths set up. Now, on the other end that isn't working hard but is spending money, I would really go through, and sometimes you have to dig through lead slips and dig through old intro forms and so forth, but I'd really spend July organizing my list of people that have expressed any level of interest in what I do, going back probably a couple of years at least, and going to all my inactive students. And I would plan on, again, 2 weeks before Labor Day for adults, 2 weeks before school goes back in session for kids, and I would send a mail piece to them once a week for 6 weeks. So if I could have a list of 2,000 people, I would like to mail to them, 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 worst case 3 times, best case 6 times in 6 weeks. And again, you don't have to create anything. We have postcards and all that kind of stuff up at the member site. And frankly, you could send them the same thing 6 times, saves you some printing costs. But I would prefer to maybe print 3 different things and mail them, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then start over or something like that. But a list of 2,000 people, I would mail to them, mail to them, mail to them, mail to them, mail to them. I would email to them, if I had email addresses, 3 times a week or 5 times a week during that same period. After the second or third mail piece hit, I'd put a live human being on doing outbound calls, trying to prioritize the ones who are most recent first and oldest later from that standpoint. We can also tie in text messaging if we have mobile numbers. If we have a phone number at all, we can just send a text to it And if it turns out to be a mobile number, then it'll go, the text will go through. If it turns out not to be a mobile number, it'll bounce. Well, what's the cost of that?
About 5 cents a unit.
Yeah, 5 cents a piece. So so it's relatively inexpensive. And I would say probably, what would you say, 5 times more effective than email right now?
Yeah, depending on what the offer is. I mean if it's, yeah, you get an instant open.
yeah. And then you can also tie in, and by the way, text messaging is one of those places where you can send educational. So you can send a link to a YouTube video, and so you get a chance to show them a little video of the last graduation, or you show them a little video of the presentation you did at the elementary school, or whatever it might be. So rapid fire, we do record these and transcribe them. But so my marketing Parthenon ends up being overwhelming follow-up on all the leads that I have in a timely manner, starting 2 weeks before school goes back in session or starting 2 weeks before Labor Day for the adults. Email, text messaging, broadcast, voicemail, live outbound call before the second or third piece of mail goes out. So that's where I would spend the biggest piece of my money on advertising. I'm not touching on internet much right now, but on advertising dollars that I can spend. We've seen newspaper inserts are still working really well for all the markets. We've seen post-it notes on the front of the newspaper still working really well for all the markets. Inline, buying space just in the newspaper, whether it's a local or a freebie or a daily, hasn't been working very well with a few exceptions. I think Sean Harvey had pretty good success in Bermuda with their daily paper. But generally, we haven't found that to be working very well. What have I not touched upon that should be in the media mix for back to school maximum or other things?
I think it's pretty thorough. I mean, obviously the if it's in the budget and we have the ability to do it, something like a radio remote, you know, for back to school is actually a pretty good strategy. I mean, again, you have to consider the pretty dramatic shift in psychology of the marketplace. If I was going to do a radio remote in the middle of July about my big summer thing for kids, I'm not too hopeful about that. But if I'm going to do it right now, right in the middle of August, and it's promoting my big anti-bullying thing or my big, prepare for back to school success thing for families and kids, well, that would be the time I pull the trigger. Same with the adult market, you know.
And for the kids market, the Disney Channel. In markets that have a local Disney radio station. Is we've done remotes with the Disney thing, and it's not cheap, but it's not prohibitively expensive if you're going to make it worthwhile. Works real well, and it's the only place that I've had much success with radio over the years is with big one-day promotional remote type of things. Probably the other thing is I would say for all the markets. But with the kids market, year-round, buying advertising online, in search engine optimization efforts and so forth for the kids market hasn't been the primary driver for most people. However, certainly you should make sure that right now through November 1st that you're all over Google pay-per-click. And anybody searches for any keyword that's comparable to what we do, it should show up because parents do start looking for back-to-school activities. So, and you don't want to just, and it's a longer conversation we have time for right now, but you just don't want to buy martial arts keywords. You want to be back-to-school activities, kids in Shreveport, Louisiana, or wherever you're at. You want to nail it down with geographically targeted limiters in Google, so you don't want to have somebody in Seattle if you're in Louisiana find you. But you want to be in all the kids' activities type of thing, for the kids' market, because there is a lot of parents searching for that. Year-round, we know we can drive almost unlimited traffic for MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, cardio kickboxing for adults. But it is a time we should really focus on the kids as well and make sure that you've bought a lot of pay-per-click where you're visible. Again, don't expect it to fill the school, but it is a time when parents are out looking for things. Well, that was my quick top of the head list of a starting point for the Parthenon. I guess what I didn't get, Master Milroy, was what was I going to say? Oh, what I didn't hit was the internal promotions. It's also the time to make sure that around Labor Day and shortly thereafter, you have all kinds of internal activities that are driving a lot of traffic. Again, whether it's a Buffalo Wild Wings type of deal, or whether it's your pizza party referral idea, whatever it is, it's a good time to have a ton of internal activities stacked up and spend August promoting the events that are happening end of August, early in September. Because, again, it's a time that people are looking to start an activity, so you should have a bunch of them going to draw people. Well, good. You want to do Q&A on back-to-school marketing predominantly now, Mr. Milroy?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to transition a bit into some staff development strategies. But, yeah, anybody has any specific feedback or thoughts on, what this back-to-school, opportunity means and how to best leverage it, just hit *6 on your phone now and feel free to just jump right in. I think the thing not to think about is that, well, if the market is going to have this big psychological, shift, I don't have to do anything. They're just going to come screaming at the doors, right? I mean, don't allow yourself to go down that road. It's that they're now more susceptible to your messages,
That's what I was going to say. It's almost the opposite of what's intuitively obvious. When it's hot, it's hot. And so when people are most likely to respond, that's when you spend the most money. Because that's when you're most likely to get the best return on investment. So that's when you really double down or triple down on direct mail. It's really where you triple down or double down on broadcast media. You don't do the opposite. It's a hard time to get people in, say, in Christmas around the holidays. So you go spend a bunch of money thinking that you're going to overcome the difficulty by throwing money at it. Where you want to invest money is when it's most likely that people are going to respond, or you're most likely going to get the best number in.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, strategically, that's pretty damn important. I mean, you can't beat. I don't know. It's kind of like trying to change the direction of the Nile River all at once, right? It's pretty much kind of running the way it's running, and you can influence it over time. But it's, when it's ready to turn, it'll turn. So, and now is when our folks are ready to listen to us. So we definitely need to make sure that we're the ones in front of them. And again, if we don't get in front of them, somebody will. If we don't get in front of them, it's going to be, the other sport activities for kids. They're going to be getting enrolled in soccer or for baseball or for, what's the season in October? Soccer and football, are coming up, right? Those types of things. So, we've got to get out in front of them. And, certainly there's, they need what we do. They just might not know it yet. So we've got to make sure we get in front of that. So anyway, any specific questions about that or any specific feedback, please.
Hi, Toby. Can you hear me?
I can. Who's this?
Hi, this is Crystal from Crystal DeBay from New York City.
How are you?
Hey there, guys. I have a question. You had mentioned something about business to business, and we're sitting here right beside a Starbucks. And you even mentioned Starbucks, and I was wondering, when it's companies that have, that are larger, how do you approach those? Because I know that there's probably a little bit more red tape, but how would I actually consider getting in and maybe doing a deal with them? Because our customers pretty much are there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do I capitalize on that?
Yeah, absolutely. The starting point for, all big companies like that, in other words, big multi-unit companies like that, is Sometimes if you run it all the way up, like a Starbucks case to Seattle, you know, you get a slow no. But so many of them have people who either are entrepreneurial or are willing to just, you know, do whatever until they're told otherwise at every level, if that makes sense. And, you know, if you look at Starbucks and McDonald's, and I've done a lot with both of them, is, you know, McDonald's corporate will always say no, but franchisees oftentimes will let you do things, especially if you give it a McDonald's spin, like it's a fundraiser for the Ronald McDonald House, which is one of their, you know, very good but directly tied charities. So with Starbucks, in Starbucks' case, again, what happens is always if you can give it an external credible charity tie, preferably one that's tied to what they're doing, then you come in not looking self-serving. Number two is, just in general principles, is any and everybody you come in contact with, the way to network and the way to create a positive relationship is always go into it for what's in it for them and figure out how to really help them out. And then the nature of reciprocity starts to kick in, right? So, Crystal, in your case, I mean, you have a bunch of big classes, and you have a bunch of men and women who have worked out and sweated hard and would love a frappuccino for the, you know, after the workout. You know, so if you start organizing it where you took 30 people up for frappuccinos three times a week, and then you got them to give you a little, you know, coupon or whatever it is to make it an after-school, you know, after-class thing, all of a sudden you're building up quite a debt on their part. But they don't even realize until you look to what you can do to expand the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Expand that. There's one of our schools that has this huge, like, pizza facility that does birthday parties. Well, you know, I would always, with that, I would go in and get three or four big deals and big groups in to support them first and make sure that, you know, without me looking self-serving, that they knew that we were doing everything we could to support our neighbor. And then I would start talking to them about ways that we could work together more effectively. And, you know, in your case, you start with the premise of, in Starbucks, they have a lot of franchises. They're one of the biggest franchisers in the world. But the franchises are the ones that are in Target or in Safeway. Or in Colorado, they're at Vail and Aspen that are tied into the ski resorts. The freestanding locations like the one you're talking about, we've been in that Starbucks. That one is a corporate location because all their freestanding locations like that are corporate locations. But their ranch managers have quite a bit of flexibility. Their district managers have quite a bit of flexibility. And so there are a lot of things you can do with them, especially if you go at it. Like one of their deals is the Small Business Jobs Initiative they're doing right now. I'm trying to remember what their other charitable tie is, but if you can figure out how to make it tie into their thing, then they're more receptive to it. I can't think of what theirs is right now. I can think of like Burger King has an education initiative thing that they look to actually raise money at the locations for, or at least they did until recently. And so if you did the 5 week for $49 or the 5 week for $29 and 100% of the money goes to their charity, we've done that with McDonald's, Ronald McDonald House, it's a much more natural end than just talking to them about what they can do to help us.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you.
You know, I obviously I would echo all that. There is always pieces of leverage that, you know, again, when you go into these things thinking about what's in it for them, you really start to get creative about how you can approach these things. And, I mean, you know, our recent example, of course, with these movie theaters and things like that, I mean, look, if you have 200 students in your school or 150 students or 300 students, and you multiply that by families, so let's say you've got 500 to 700 families, you know, people, you know, who are families who come in and out of your school, you know, plus or minus. I mean, that's a big customer list that almost, again, if you draw that 5-mile circle around your business or 10-mile circle, almost every one of those other business owners would love to have 500 or 600 people who get their message, you know? So, you know, if it's the health club or if it's the local pediatrician or the local, you know, family practitioner or the chiropractor or whatever the case may be, you do have a lot of leverage with your customer, that your customer isn't going to think badly of you if you tell them about somebody else that can help them with a problem they may have, you know? They're also not going to think badly of you. Eric Sabarch has a great approach to this, something that we've done a lot of. I used to do tons and tons and tons of when I was actively in the school every day. I would have, like, the local massage therapist come down and do, you know, we'll do, like, a women's appreciation night, you know, mom's appreciation night around Mother's Day, and bring in, you know, 3 or 4 local massage therapists and aromatherapy people and, you know, all that sort of thing, and do it just right inside the school. So now they love doing it. They never charged us anything to do it, of course, because they got in front of about 400 customers, you know? And you know, those types of things, your customer base is a big piece of leverage. The second thing that Schrauber said I think is really useful, too, is any type of a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, or, you know, any kind of a charity, notable or not, that has a tie to them is very, very useful. Now, Schrauber said it earlier, but the Children's Hospital concept that we use is exactly the same thing. So now it's Starbucks is giving their customers the opportunity to make a donation to Children's Hospital. In addition to that, they also get a couple free weeks of lessons and a free uniform over at your place, right? And maybe Starbucks figures out how to throw in a coffee or something like that. You know what I mean? So, I think those two concepts are extremely important for everybody to think about. And really, you know, I'm at such a level of comfort with these deals now that really it's one of my favorite things to go do, you know? One of the things, this is a total tangent, but that's probably maybe useful for everybody. One of the projects that I took up, took Master Oliver's challenge on, I don't know how many years ago now, was, you know, to take a millionaire out to lunch every month and go find a new one and go meet him, you know? And you know, this part of this process is the same thing. You just figure out who all the people in your community are who can help you and go, like, build a relationship with them, you know? Go get connected with them and figure out what you can do to help them and, you know, how your businesses can work together. And, you know, you would get to such a point after maybe just a few months or a year where you have such good relationships with so many other business owners in your circle of influence that it really isn't difficult. If you want to go and get out 50,000 rat cards, it's not that hard. You've got, you know, 75 business owners. They'll all take 100. Well, that's, you know, that's a lot right there, you know. So, you know what I mean? I think that's a great part of this, especially this season, to be thinking about. And I think those two things are pretty damn important. Any other thoughts, guys? Anybody else? I'm sorry?
You know, but before you skip over that one, so, you know, one of the questions I get a lot is how I've managed to network with such high-profile and successful, wealthy people over the years. But frankly, it's always been, I'm not sure where I got it, but it's always been what you just said, is it's starting from the standpoint of what can I do to help them, not talking to them about what they can do to help me. And then once they're so impressed with how much I've gone out of my way with no, you know, incentive or reason or financial remuneration to help them, then they become very open to what, you know, what they might be able to do to help me. You know, it's like the example of Chuck Norris and John McIntyre years ago. You know, we did so much stuff to help them when they were doing that movie with Sidekicks, including lining the top people up around the country to help them, and, you know, doing everything from elementary school PA announcements to press releases and lining up new interviews. You know, they couldn't help but then say, well, what can we do for you? Because nobody's ever done this for us before. So every part of it, I talked to, I think, with Eric Sabarch yesterday about make the list of the top 100 people that you'd love to have as clients and figure out how to build a relationship where you're helping them in every way possible. And sooner or later, you know, 95 out of 100 human beings want to reciprocate. And especially if they see that you're a, you know, good person, sincere, and doing a good job for the community, which hopefully you are. You'll get all kinds of returns.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, this isn't any different than in the family market, what we were talking about in the summertime with a lot of these types of, daycare and elementary school and field trip type models. This is about really creating a network, right? And when you've created this network of other similar business owners who are on the same mission that you are, who serve a similar customer, who you know, I kind of have this picture in my head, right? And I used to be this, so it really resonates with me, and I really understand it. I was kind of like, you know, holed up in the corner of the school, kind of curled up in the fetal position, you know, shaking in fear, and never would I venture out the doors, right? I mean, that's how I kind of picture myself previously, right? Where if somebody didn't walk through the front door, God, I would never get a lead, you know? I think that that's one way to kind of operate these things. I think that's one way to think about this. Well, I'm so good at what I do, I'm just going to be so good at it that everybody's going to tell everybody about me and they're all going to come in, you know? And we all know that that's frankly bullshit, but, you know, it just doesn't work, right? And then I think there's a second model, which is instead of kind of being locked behind your four walls and stuck in the corner, you're the opposite of that. You're really kind of out there. And, you know, you've created these relationships in the community. And I mean, to this day, now it's been, you know, a number of years before I've actively done it myself, you know, personally walked into the doors. But I can tell you the name of every elementary school principal, every elementary school guidance counselor, all the physical education departments in each location. I know what the physical education budget is in all the schools. I know what they're going to spend it on the year before and the year next. You know, and I know all the people on the PTA or who used to be on the PTA at the time. I mean, those are the types of relationships that you really, really, really want to have. And when you expand that to these other local businesses who serve the same customer that you do, my premise is exactly the same. If you have an anti-abduction seminar or you have a bully self-defense seminar, or you have some kind of an event or an activity at your school, you have three ways to get people to show up. Number one is you go buy a bunch of media and hope people see it and show up. Number two is you have an internal list that you go market to. You know, your own email list, your voice, you know, email list, voice broadcast, whatever you've got. You can blast stuff out to that list. Or third, you have other people's lists, right? You've got the local chiropractor and the doctor and the dentist and the cosmetic surgeon and the auto repair shop owner and the guy who owns Sylvan and the guy who owns Kumon and the donut shop place and the, right? So when I want to do that free child ID kit program, I don't want to just have 25 people show up. I want to have like 250 show up or 500 or, you know, whatever. And the only way I can do that economically, you know, with cost effectively, is if I can leverage all of those other media outlets. Not necessarily the paid media outlet, but, you know, all these other businesses. Every other business who serves the same customer that I do, what if they gave all their customers the flyer for a month? What if, you know, and if I have 100 of them, you know? So I think that, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it shouldn't be, I think, undervalued, creating this network. And I think, Mr. Oliver, your strategy is exactly right, especially if I don't maybe have a lot of confidence, if I'm just starting with this. It's start with the people you already have, you know, in your circle of influence, the people who are already students, who already know, like, and trust you. What are they all about? What scout troops are they in? What, you know, what other sports do they play? Don't perceive those other sports as kind of taking away from your market. Look at those other sports and activities as an opportunity to go serve them and to have them then be able to help serve you as well. You know, I mean, there's just such expansive opportunity in this stuff. It's really kind of exciting. But
well,
if you're sort of stuck in fear, please.
The next piece of that is, you know, I gave you the low-hanging fruit of know who everybody is in your school, who their immediate relations are, and to go through that. But see, once you get to one of them, it's like, you know, years ago breaking into the school district where everybody told us would let us do nothing. Well, it was getting to the one PE teacher through the one parent who was, you know, the PTA president, who was well, you know, well regarded. And then after that, that one PE teacher got us into all the others. And so once you're there, I mean, the human resources person at, you know, big company A that has 30,000 employees knows human resource people at two or three other supplier or feeder or similar companies. That can then you know, bicycle you around to those people, and daycare director number one knows daycare director number two or three, Starbucks, you know, regional manager or branch manager knows, you know, the others in their immediate territory. And so it's just getting the foot in the door with a positive perception of the first one, And then after that, they rotate you through pretty easily if you do a good job for them. Ask.
It's a funny commonality because that was how we launched our school programs down here in Florida. Was one of our students was the grandmother was a guidance counselor. And that guy, so we went through that channel, met that guidance counselor. That guidance counselor happened to have a student that was very challenged, right? You know, very challenging student. Some mental disabilities and also some, you know, just acting out issues that may or may not have been connected with that, right? And we actually took him on as a student, but that person reported to the district guidance counselor. So that was our next step, and that person basically took us to the district guidance meeting and showed the student off and what a great job we had done with this little boy, and it was a done deal. I think we had 11 schools sign up that day to do the school program. So I mean, it doesn't take a lot of those, you know, it doesn't take a lot of those to really build a significant business. But you said exactly right. You got to ask.
Yeah, and the comparable is we've ended up with an incredible number of PE teacher, school principal, assistant principal, guidance counselors, what they call in-service days or training days, and you know, you just get them to the one that loves you to take you to the you know, the days where they're doing training and meeting with all the other ones, and then they get up and give a glowing testimonial about how great you are, and then you're in from there.
Exactly right.
Well, we're about out of time, but we can probably field one more question.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody has anything else, hit star 6 on your phone, and I can see your little hand go up here. But any specific questions or feedback on this particular topic as we go?
And I would certainly ask everybody to be really good at submitting questions ahead of time by email. And Toby, we should, I guess, again remind everybody there's been a complete overhaul online, and we're really moving towards the concept of creating online print-on-demand resources and online support and on-demand support. And you know, we're never going to get away from sending stuff in the mail, but the online opportunities are huge, and we've expanded that dramatically. So we should remind everybody of that. And on that note, I'm going to have to head off to another appointment.
Yeah, we're going to get cut off here anyway. Anyway, guys, so listen, thanks everybody so much. Thank you, sir, for helping us on the call today. If anybody has any questions, again, you know, email them over, and we'll be able to get them in the queue for these calls. I think we hammered through, I think, 3 or 4 questions that we had in the pipeline for today. We'll get to some more staff development strategies in the next call. It's definitely an area of opportunity, an area that we need to be focused on. And something that we can, you know, we really have some pretty solid systems already constructed for this that you can just sort of model for your own staff development purposes. But also, it's about kind of, you know, reducing the learning curve, right? Not having to make every mistake on your own, and sort of collaborating in this type of an environment so that you can accelerate results without having to, you know, deal with all the drudgery, you know, that we've already solved many of those issues for you. So anyway, thanks everybody so much. Really appreciate your time, and we'll talk really soon. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be at the U.S. Open this weekend. If anybody's down here in Orlando, I'd love to meet with you, maybe have lunch or something. I'll be at the U.S. Open Friday and Saturday, and doing a little seminar on Friday morning. So and anybody that's in town, love to meet with you, and, you know, maybe we'll have some lunch or something. Speak to everybody soon.